Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You know, in the lead up to Georgia, Florida, and for us, that's 365 days long, but in the lead up to the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, we, for the most part, kind of laughed at all the people who said, Dan Mullen's this great game coach. He's going to out-coach Kirby Smart. He's going to make him look like a fool if this is a close game. Dan Mullen's the best play caller in all of college football. We heard people saying things like that, and for the most part, we laughed at that. But we didn't laugh at that because that's what Georgia fans wanted to hear. We weren't just sort of feeding red meat to our key core constituency. That's not what we were doing. We had the numbers on our side. We had seen Dan Mullen, Kirby Smart, head-to-head matchups prior to this year's renewal of the Georgia-Florida rivalry. And for the most part, those had gone Kirby Smart's way. Better talent at Alabama, but Dan Mullen was supposed to be a great play caller as Mississippi State head coach. But when Smart was leading those Crimson Tide defenses, they were shutting down Dan Mullen. They were not giving up a whole bunch of points. They were, for the most part, covering the Vegas point spread. Head-to-head matchups as head coaches have been even more glaring in favor of Smart over Mullen. So the idea that the chess match between Kirby Smart and Dan Mullen was going to be some contest easily won by the guy down at Florida, for the most part, that never really made any sense to us. The data didn't support that. That was, I believe, a myth on the part of the national media who tried to push that. The reason why I bring that up today on Dog Nation Daily is because it is fair to point out that the battle of wits between Georgia coach Kirby Smart and Gus Malzahn this Saturday, that is not necessarily the same kind of thing. You know, when we said what we said about Mullen, we said that because we had the data on our side. But when it comes to Kirby Smart versus Gus Malzahn, the data is not exactly as flattering to Kirby Smart. These two coaches have met 7 times already with either Smart as defensive coordinator at Alabama or head coach at Georgia, dating back to when Malzahn first became a head coach in 2013. And in those 7 instances, 3 of those times, Gus Malzahn's offense has scored 34 or more points. There was obviously the 2017 game in Jordan-Hare Stadium for Georgia back in Smart's second year when Malzahn scored 40 to win that day. There was the 2013 game. You remember that as the famous kick six between Auburn and Alabama where Malzahn's team scored 34. What you may not remember is kind of sandwiched in between that was the 2014 Iron Bowl. Alabama won, but it was a narrow margin, and Auburn scored 44 points that day. So when it comes to head-to-head matchups, the battle of Gus Malzahn's offense versus Kirby Smart's defense, it's not fair to say that Malzahn has gotten the better of him most of the time because, let's face it, Georgia won an SEC championship here against these two coaches. Kirby Smart won against Mullen 28-7. I wore my Dog Nation Retaliation t-shirt yesterday to celebrate that. Georgia really, for the most part, no problem with the Auburn offense a year ago. So it's not one of those deals where Gus Malzahn always dominates Kirby Smart or even necessarily has the consistent upper hand against Kirby Smart. But there have been some moments when the Malzahn offense has really dialed up something that's been difficult for Smart to defend, whether it has been with Georgia defenders or Alabama defenders before that. 3 times of scoring 34 more in 7 total meetings, that's not a number that you necessarily gloss over. And from that standpoint, we know that Kirby Smart loves these head-to-head battles, these chess match battles against offensive minds. I think he genuinely enjoys shutting down a guy like Dan Mullen, and I think he genuinely would like to add another chapter to his resume or the backstory, the back history between he and Gus Malzahn. I believe that privately, although Smart probably wouldn't admit this, I believe he probably is aware of the moments in which Malzahn maybe dialed up something that was hard for his guys to defend. I believe that he coaches with that extra edge on Saturday, knowing that he wants to go out and prove that, you know what, Malzahn, I don't care, you know, how tricky your offensive formations are. I don't care about any of that kind of stuff. I'm going to be able to do something that's going to shut you down. And in fact, certainly Smart spoke with a good deal of, I guess, soberness about this topic this week, knowing that the Malzahn offense gives you a lot to think about, but you got to be careful not to think too much about it as you get ready for a game like this. Here's a little taste of what Smart has said about matching wits with an offensive coordinator like Gus Malzahn, or I should say an offensive-minded head coach now like Gus Malzahn, and how you get your team ready for what the Auburn offense brings to the table. Here's Kirby.
Offensively, they always have a ton to prepare for. So I think sometimes when you know the history of somebody, it can be worse because you try to prepare for everything you've seen. It makes it hard to do, and just got to get them ready. And that's why I think we're getting closer.
I think that is kind of an interesting somewhat introspective thing for Smart to say, that when you do have such a long, distinguished backstory against someone, when you've met them on the field, as many times as these guys have met, especially given the long memories these kinds of coaches have, Malzahn's proud of his offense, his offensive play-calling style. Smart's certainly proud of his defense. You have a memory of every time that, hey, maybe things didn't quite go your way, and you want to be prepared to stop that again next time. And that extra memory, those extra thoughts can, I think, probably crowd your mind a little bit. I think it's interesting that Smart says that the way that he does. And as he also went into some more detail on this week, when it comes down to how you instruct all this to your players, not only do you as a coach have to be careful you don't think too much about it, but you also have to be careful that you don't say too much about all of this and then therefore give your players too much to think about. Here's more good stuff from Kirby on battling wits with Malzahn.
Core stuff doesn't change much. You just try to expose them to what the opponent does is different than what you see day to day. And Gus has always had a lot of different things. I mean, they got different tempos, they got different formations, they got different groupings, they got, it's just a lot to prepare for. It's a lot of offense at the end of the day. And you got to, you know, be careful that you don't overload your kids with too much and paralyze them.
So listen, I think the battle between Malzahn's offensive style, the kinds of plays he wants to call on Saturday, Kirby Smart's defensive style, the ways in which he attempts to stop all this, I think this is a fascinating subplot for what's going to happen on Saturday. Now, I say this knowing full well that whether you're watching live on a laptop or a phone or an iPad or whatever else, or if you're listening on the radio or you're connecting with a podcast much later on in the day, no matter how you get to our show, I know what some of you are going to shout back at the device that you're listening to right now or watching on right now. You're going to say, B.A., don't forget now, this is a great Georgia defense going up against a subpar, mediocre, at least by the stats, Auburn offense. That this isn't going to be some great chess match between an offensive and a defensive mind. The Auburn fans aren't even happy with Gus Malzahn's play calling. Georgia's second in the country right now in points allowed. This is a great defense battling a mediocre offense, and it's as simple as that in terms of how this game's going to be decided on Saturday. And I understand where the temptation to say all that comes from. I have been trying to caution this week, though, and y'all know I've got the Georgia G on my shirt today. I'm a fan. I want to see Georgia win on Saturday, and I've said before that I'm pretty anxious about this game, a little nervous about how the outcome is going to unfold. And the one thing that I do steadfastly believe is this idea that the Auburn offense has, for the most part, not been great this season, therefore Georgia doesn't have much to worry about on Saturday. I think that's not true, or at least I think that's oversimplified by the people who've tried to say that. Auburn is playing at home. Typically speaking, these kinds of offenses perform better in friendly territory. It's later in the year for Bo Nix. He's gained some experience from some of the bad games that he's had in the past, and you know, Booby Whitlow's kind of coming back a little bit healthier after a bye week a week ago. We've already talked about the fact that Malzahn has a pretty good history coming off byes. Doesn't mean that the Auburn offense is going to have its way with the Georgia defense on Saturday, but it does mean it's going to be one of these very intense battles. I mean, we have said this, that Georgia has put itself in a very interesting position of, it is a national championship contender as long as the defense remains as stingy as it has been, limiting yards, limiting points. As long as it keeps doing what it's been doing, well, then Georgia's going to be just fine in terms of staying in pace with the rest of the college football playoff contenders. But as the schedule gets tougher, that job of the Georgia defense gets more difficult. On paper, the Auburn offense doesn't necessarily scream potent, doesn't necessarily scream dynamic. But this is a moment that I believe Auburn's had circled on the calendar for quite some time. And that matchup with Gus Malzahn and Kirby Smart, Smart with the memory of the times that Malzahn may have gotten the better of him in the past, I think that is a very interesting subplot for Saturday's game. And I believe it goes a long way in determining not just which of the two coaches ends up looking smarter, but which of the two teams actually ends up winning. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them. We even post the show for you each day at theworldfamousdognation.com. Really glad to have you with us. And man, oh man, one of the things I'm really excited about, we're going to talk more about all this Georgia Auburn stuff tonight, Marlowe's and Brookhaven for our Marlowe's matchup. Myself, the former UGA All-American John Stinchcomb, hanging out with all of you. We'll do a live broadcast at 6 p.m. If you can't be with us, we'll show it to you on video. But really looking forward to having a huge crowd out tonight. Talk some Georgia football, not just the potential win versus Auburn, but the race for the playoff. We'll sneak in a little recruiting stuff. We're going to do a lot of really, really good stuff tonight. 6 to 8 p.m., Marlowe's in Brookhaven, the address, and I'll give it to you here, 3575 Durden Drive. That's 3575 Durden Drive. This is one of our favorite Marlowe's locations. We always have a blast every time we're at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven. This is going to be exceptional. It goes down at 6 p.m. tonight. We'll look forward to seeing you there for that. I want to do some recruiting stuff here in a moment. Can I tell people about one more kind of cool thing before we get there? Some really fun stuff going on right now at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. This time of year is a beautiful opportunity to get away to Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. Obviously, the North Georgia Mountains are gorgeous late fall. It's getting about that time where Brasstown's going to start putting those Christmas decorations up, fire in the fireplace. It doesn't get any better than that. And it's also Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa's 25th anniversary. And as a way of celebrating that, select dates in November and December, you can get 25% off. If you're watching video, you see the beautiful look there at the fantastic resort facility. Just an amazing, amazing getaway. Short drive from Atlanta. And you can get 25% off on select dates this month and in the month of December, but you've got to use the promo code BVR25. That's BVR25 at BrasstownValley.com, and you can enjoy some great savings on a great getaway. And this time of year, don't we all kind of need that? All right, our special guest here on the program today is Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart. We'll talk some Georgia-Auburn with him, how he expects to see that game unfold, and kind of how Georgia is keeping pace with the top playoff contenders right now. We'll do all that with Tony in just a moment. Let's go around the doghouse before that. Brought to you by Online Trading Academy today, and I want to do a little bit of recruiting stuff because the one thing I'm very well aware of, because I've heard this from so many of you, is the overall lack of recruiting information over the last few months. It's just been really weird how Georgia seems to be very much in position for an elite class, you know, has done already a lot of great work to sort of set up for that, but there's just been no news of really any stripe whatsoever, no really pleasant surprises, no bad news, just kind of no nothing. It's just sort of been, it's just, to use, I guess, bad grammar, it's just sort of been quiet here for the last couple of months. Well, maybe that's changing a little bit over the last couple of days. Let me tell you what I know about the situation with Theo Johnson, the four-star tight end. First of all, Johnson had put this out on Twitter, and we've talked to Jeff Sintel about this here on Dog Nation Daily, that Johnson planned on making his commitment announcement on November the 18th. That was always one of those guys that Todd Hartley had seemingly targeted to go along with Darnell Washington as a potential tandem of elite tight ends. But with that November 18th date approaching, I think there was a growing sense of pessimism among many Georgia fans that when the announcement was made by Johnson, it was not going to be Georgia. It was going to be Penn State or one of these Big Ten teams, most likely the Nittany Lions, but more likely than that, not going to be Georgia. Well, with that in mind, maybe a degree of good news here this week. I believe 24/7 was the first to report this, Steve Wiltfong, that struggling to make his decision between Iowa, Georgia, Michigan, and Penn State, Theo Johnson has postponed his college decision. Now, when we had a chance to talk to Jeff Sintel about this yesterday on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger, Jeff said the fact that Theo Johnson's not making an announcement right now, that is very good for UGA. Here's what Jeff said yesterday.
The perceived leader by the industry in the clubhouse was he was trending towards Penn State. I think the decision to back off this decision march for him to Monday, I think that's a good thing for everybody else in this race except for Penn State. He's still going to take his official visit to Michigan, I believe, this weekend. But to me, I just hearken back to every time I've spoke to Theo Johnson. And he's just like, he just didn't know. He had this school, he liked this part, this school, he liked this part, and all these schools, he liked this stuff in the middle. And he hoped to have clarity and hoped to have some sort of closure on his best school and his best fit after these rapid-fire visits. Well, apparently that's not the case. Remember, he's going to be an early enrollee. He just hasn't found that trigger, that change agent, that catalyst that makes up his mind. We were talking about this time about this mythical feeling in the gut where you just know. And he's been to Iowa, he's been to Georgia, he's been to Penn State, he's going to Michigan. He still doesn't know. And when this thing goes longer and longer, I think the chances improve for a school like Georgia.
Easy to understand why that is, just given how publicly aggressive Todd Hartley's been at recruiting Johnson. Remember the fire and ice tweets, the NBA super team, you know, type situation of, you know, two elite superstars playing together. That's clearly been Hartley's pitch towards Johnson, and we assume Darnell Washington on that, and maybe getting the announcement postponed. Easy to understand that George would be the team that might have caused that to happen and maybe the program that benefits from that most. You know, the Michigan situation where Jeff says he's still going to take that official visit, you know, from a geographic standpoint, you know, Ontario, where Johnson lives, Michigan, where Ann Arbor is, that's probably the, obviously the closest drive here. I guess you have to go through customs to get across the national borders there. But maybe the geography of Michigan comes into play. They've clearly had a history of using tight ends, as a lot of these Big Ten teams have. But for now, I'm going to take Jeff at his word because I believe he makes a lot of sense. Theo postponing would seem like good news. I think this is still a tough battle for Georgia to win, but I've watched this film of Theo over and over again. I think he's a quite impressive prospect, and Georgia's still in it with a chance to win it when it comes with a tight end like Johnson. To me, that's about as good as it's going to get for Georgia fans here right now. We'll follow this story, see where it goes from here. It's Around the Doghouse presented by Online Trading Academy. I know all of you want more money, and somehow, one way or another, you know the markets, and investing is the way to get that. But your question is, what do you invest in? Well, Online Trading Academy would offer you this advice. The first decision is the decision to invest in yourself. That's what Online Trading Academy provides. Invest in yourself by learning how the markets work. I'm talking about across a variety of trading styles, a spectrum of asset classes, just really all the different facets of the market. They can help you with all of that, and they can provide you a chance to learn both in the classroom and online. Arm yourself with the information you need to let the markets work for your benefit, no matter if they're going up or going down. So the website to go to here is tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That'll get you in touch with Online Trading Academy. All right, great to have you here on Dog Nation Daily. Look forward to seeing you at Marlowe's tonight, 6 p.m. at the Brookhaven location. We will have more from Kirby Smart a little bit later on in our program. But for now, preview of Georgia-Auburn and everything else around college football. Let's talk to Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. It is always a great pleasure for me to have Tony Barnhart here on Dog Nation Daily, because I've been reading Tony for a long, long time. He's been putting out great content for a long time. And Tony, if you don't mind, before we kind of get into the Georgia-Auburn game on this upcoming Saturday, let me kind of ask you here just to sort of set the stage. Were you at Jordan-Hare Stadium in 1982 for what turned out to be the Look at the Sugar Falling Out of the Sky game, the famous call from Larry Munson? Were you at the 82 Georgia-Auburn game?
I was not, because I was still working in North Carolina at the time. I didn't come to the AJC until 1984, and I may have missed one or two Georgia Auburn games, but this has always been my favorite game.
Yeah,
of all the games that I get to cover, and I get to cover all, this has always been my favorite game.
Were you at the water hose game in '86?
No, because that year I became an assistant sports editor. I was in the wilderness for 2 years as assistant sports editor, and I missed the games so much. But in that particular night, I was assistant sports editor and helping put out the section.
Nice.
And I remember it well.
Yeah, listen, as you said before, you called it your favorite game. I think for a lot of people, they kind of feel that way. And this rivalry over the course of decades, Tony, as you know, has taken on sort of different faces. Lately, it's been more of one dominated by Georgia, at least in terms of the ratio of wins compared to losses last decade and a half or so. But, you know, back in the 80s, when I was kind of coming of age, it was road team winning a lot, games typically pretty close. And it is really interesting how this rivalry has kind of always had its own unique personality. I think with fans, the intensity of the hatred's probably bigger and stronger now than it may would have been back when you had graduates of the other schools, each coach for the other side. You know, that kind of, you know, changes some of this around a bit. But this has always been a rivalry that just has quite a personality, has it not been?
It does. And, you know, it's a totally different feel for this game, because we're into November. We're getting close to Thanksgiving. The time has changed. The shadows are longer. And Georgia-Auburn has always had just a different feel to it. And more often than not, something's on the line. And obviously a lot's on the line for both, for really, for in national championship possibilities are on the line for Georgia. Yeah. Auburn's got a chance to play spoiler for Georgia and Alabama. So there's a lot, and they're playing at home. And trust me, I was at Auburn all day Tuesday, and this is a really big game.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably pretty well said. I'm sure they've been, you know, circling this. There was the weird thing, and we'll get into the actual what's going to happen on the field in a moment, but there was the weird thing after the Ole Miss game where I saw some Auburn players had kind of complained on Twitter about the atmosphere not being that great.
Yeah.
Something tells me that's not going to be a problem on Saturday, right?
Maybe
a little sleepy for Ole Miss, but not for Georgia, if I had to guess.
They were calling out the students because the students bugged out early because they were playing Ole Miss. These last two home games with Georgia and Alabama, there will be an issue about the fans showing up.
So let's talk about the game itself here for a moment. And, Tony, I don't pretend to be anything other than a fan of Georgia. I want Georgia to win this game. So what I'm about to say, I say from kind of a partisan standpoint, but I think there's this perception of Auburn that's probably wrong because Tigers have lost two games this season. In some cases, the offense has kind of sputtered. But that was against top 10 teams on the road. I really think Auburn comes into this game on Saturday pretty undervalued. I think this is probably one of the 10 best teams in America. I think this is a knockdown, drag-out fight for Georgia that if it does win, it's going to have to win late and likely by a narrow margin. This, to me, has always been on paper Georgia's toughest game of the season, and regardless of Auburn's record, I still feel the same way about that right now. I mean, is it as tough for Georgia as I think it is?
Absolutely. This is going to, unlike what we saw at Bryant-Denny Stadium Saturday night, this is going to be an old-fashioned defense, grind-it-out, slobber-knocker kind of game that's going to come down to one or two big plays or one or two big mistakes. These are two of the very best defenses in all of college football. And here's the other thing. You know that great LSU offense that hung 46 on Alabama?
Yeah.
Well, Auburn held those guys to 23 points despite the fact that they were on the field for 88 plays. This is a great, great defense. Georgia's defense is great.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to quarterback play because as I went through the building, Brandon, I kept hearing the same thing over and over and over. We've got to make Jake Fromm uncomfortable. That's what they're going to try to do.
And obviously, given the fact that Fromm is a junior and he's been in the stadium before and played in so many big games for Georgia now and really helped Georgia win a lot of those, including Florida a couple of weeks ago, I don't think it's asking too much to say to Fromm, you've got to go out there and you've got to significantly outplay Knicks on Saturday. Now, one thing I've said to our audience this week is, much the same way I feel about Auburn overall, don't be so quick to assume that late in the year, playing in his own stadium, that Knicks is just going to give this game away the way that he might have against Florida a little earlier in the year, also playing on the road. I expect Knicks to play better than maybe we've seen him play in some of the bigger games thus far this season, but I don't think it's asking too much for Jake Fromm, who's been in this spot a bunch, to go out there when forced to throw, when facing the opportunity to throw, just go out there and be better than your freshman counterpart on the other side of the field.
Well, I talked to Bo Nix Tuesday when I was over there, and he's heard the critics. But as you pointed out, you've got to remember that those were the top 10 teams on the road. Now he's playing at home. Well, I think Auburn is 39-9 on Gus at home, so they play well at home. To me, Brandon, Jake Fromm's got to have another game like he did against Florida. He threw it 30 times, which is just about right. Completed 20. And when the plays had to be made down the stretch, he made them. And I think he's got to play a very similar game against Auburn.
Let me do one more thing on this. I want to move on and talk about something different in the time we have left. I talked before about the chess match between Malzahn, the offensive-minded coach, Kirby, the defensive-minded coach, and in some instances, the Malzahn offense has had some success against Kirby, more so than maybe, say, a guy like Dan Mullen, who typically gets credit as being a better play caller, but Malzahn's probably had more success head-to-head versus Kirby. We also saw a couple interesting things from these guys the last couple of years. You know, Kirby tried to fake the field goal late against Auburn last year when he probably didn't need to. Malzahn had a pretty loud boast on the field after 2017 when Auburn admittedly won the game by a comfortable handy margin. What do you make of the head-to-head battle between Kirby and Malzahn, both in terms of their X's and O's against each other and the fact that these two guys from different kind of coaching trees, different kind of backgrounds, the fact that there's probably a little bit of a healthy rivalry between these two guys, respectful probably, but certainly intense nonetheless.
Well, it's healthy and it's intense and it's built on recruiting, okay? This is a huge recruiting game. A lot of guys who go to Georgia have considered Auburn big time. And I will say this, I expect both of these coaches to have something special up their sleeves. Gus was asked about that. A small group of us, three of us were talking to him. He said, you always, I'm not giving away the store, but you always have something in your back pocket. So the question is, at what point in the game do you play that card or do you play it at all? And I think this will be Georgia's toughest test to date for the offensive line. As good as some of the other teams Georgia's played, by far, the offensive line is going to have to prove how good it is on Saturday.
What did it make, or what did it mean to you to see Georgia at number four on Tuesday? Obviously, the committee seems to respect Georgia's defense, respects the wins that it's gotten. I think there were some folks around the country who thought that Alabama, by virtue of just playing LSU close, might get that nod, or maybe even a different team, you know, one of the undefeateds. What does it mean to you that the committee gave a pretty significant nod to UGA on Tuesday?
Well, the committee sent a clear message. While the loss to South Carolina was horrible, you got wins over Notre Dame and Florida. The Florida win was huge. I mean, the way that Georgia played in that game was huge. And so I think that gave them the edge. Now, having said all that, Brandon, Georgia's path is not easy, but it is pretty clear. I mean, if Georgia wins the rest of their games and wins the SEC championship, they're in. There is a scenario, of course, where they could lose to Auburn, beat Texas A&M, beat LSU in Atlanta, and then they can make the case to be there at 11-2. Mm-hmm. But Georgia doesn't really need – Georgia controls their fate. Georgia controls their destiny. They win the rest of their games, they're in the playoffs.
Let me do one more thing on that subject, then we'll obviously let you go. We appreciate your time as always. So the recipe for doing what you just described is elite defense right now, and at least in terms of its stinginess, it's among the very best in the country. And I think it's fair to say just enough offense, because Georgia has not been great offensively this season, but they've been pretty close to great defensively for the entire year. Is that formula enough? Is that okay? I mean, what I've suggested is when you try to put so much of the balance on the side of the defense, you don't leave yourself much margin for error one way or another, and that Georgia probably is, even with the defense the way that it is, going to have to find a way to score a few more points in these games down the stretch that really matter. But a defensive first, just enough offense, is that a recipe for a championship potentially for Georgia?
If you can make them play your game, okay? Auburn made LSU play their game, and they almost won. And so, yeah, you do have less of a margin for error. But, yeah, you can absolutely still win playing that way, but chances are you're going to need 28 to 30 points to win when all is said and done. So, to me, the play calling by Georgia is going to be fascinating, because every coach I talk to says the same thing about Georgia. I may get beat by Georgia, but I'm not going to let number 7 beat me. Hmm. Okay? If number 11 can beat me throwing the ball, then I'm going to have to live with that, but I am not going to let number 7 beat me. And that's what I hear time after time when I talk to coaches about Georgia.
Very good insight, especially given the fact that you're on the planes this weekend getting a chance to talk to Gus Malzahn. That's the kind of hard work that you're doing every single week, Tony, and we certainly appreciate you sharing some of that with us on Dog Nation Daily. And for the folks who want more of your coverage and all the things that you're doing, where can we find more of the work that you are doing?
I work for the SEC Network and do spot assignments and sub for Paul Feinbaum and do stuff like that. I also write a column three times a week on TMGCollegeSports.com. That's part of the Maven group that's been and part of the SI.com group. TMGCollegeSports.com.
Well, Tony, I really appreciate you being with us here today. Look forward to getting a chance to chat with you soon. Hope you enjoy this game and the rest of them coming up this weekend, and we will get a chance to speak on down the line here.
Okay, Brandon, take care.
Great stuff there from Tony Barnard. I mean, how about that? Like, in with Malzahn here this week, getting a chance to share some of those thoughts with us here right now, and very interesting to hear his insight on a couple of things that apparently they do have something up their sleeves for the weekend that, as you would expect, they're not going to let DeAndre Swift beat them, and they're going to really try to put the pressure on Jake Fromm, which, as I said before, if you're a Georgia fan, you ought to take that as a degree of good news that Fromm's been in pressure situations before. The fact that the Auburn defense, Kevin Steele, Gus Malzahn is the head coach, they look at 11 and say, we want to put the pressure on that guy. We want to put the onus on that guy to go out and beat us. If you're a Georgia fan looking at what Jake Fromm has done, that ought to be a really good thing. So we'll see on Saturday if Fromm is able to add another chapter to his legacy of winning these kinds of big games, doing something on Saturday that he hasn't done up until this point, winning one of those hostile road environment games in the SEC West. That is going to be pretty interesting stuff. Let me transition here for a moment to our Ortho Atlanta injury report. And to be frank, I have been somewhat distrusting of Kirby Smart this week. Not because I don't think he's a man of his word, but because I think that when you're getting ready for a big game, I think you have a certain responsibility to play your cards close to your vest, as Tony just said about Gus Malzahn. Malzahn not wanting to give the store away in terms of the offensive game plan versus Georgia. I think sometimes coaches do some of that kind of stuff when it comes to the injury situation as well. And I think a lot of times this stuff ends up being kind of overplayed, right? The injury secrecy that coaches try to go to great lengths to protect, I don't think helps them strategically as much as you might think. But in the case of Lawrence Cager, you can certainly understand why it might. That if Cager's out there, does he draw the number one cornerback on him, providing a more favorable matchup for another Georgia wide receiver with maybe a lesser defensive back on the other side? You can certainly understand why you would want to make Auburn think that Trey Hill is healthy, that Lawrence Cager is healthy. These guys are a little healthier than they are. And I've been admittedly somewhat skeptical of, well, are they going to be really that healthy on Saturday? Kirby Smart says they're all fine. Well, let me just say this. When it comes to Lawrence Cager here for a moment, if Kirby Smart has gamesmanship right now with Gus Malzahn to make him think he's healthier than he really is, then Kirby Smart deserves an Academy Award. Because on Tuesday, when Smart spoke to reporters, he went to great lengths to praise the toughness of Lawrence Cager, who's been battling a shoulder injury for virtually the entirety of the season. So if this is all made up to make Malzahn think one thing, then Kirby Smart has really sold himself here as an actor in the process. Will Lawrence Cager play on Saturday? Kirby Smart certainly sounds like he thinks that he will.
He's very tough. He's playing with a tough injury to deal with, but his choice. Most of the doctors clear him. He has to make a choice on whether he wants to play or not, and he wants to play. If he's a competitor, that's why he came here. The last thing he wants to do is say, well, I'm going to take this week off and not play in this game and go try to heal up. That's not his perspective, because he knows that every game matters and that it matters to our team. And he's a team player. He's a competitor. I mean, he wants to go out and make plays. And he wants to do that for the brothers on his team. And he's not going to step away unless it has a chance to injure himself worse. And that's a medical decision.
So, like I said before, if Kirby Smart's trying to oversell this, then he's doing a pretty good job, because it certainly sounds like that he thinks that Cager's on his way there. And obviously, one way or another, it would be good if Auburn thinks that. But for Georgia fans, they also know how much more potent the offense has been this season when Lawrence Cager's been a part of that. So, pretty interesting stuff here. It's our Ortho Atlanta Injury Report. It's brought to you by our friends at Ortho Atlanta. And, you know, they've got 14 locations throughout the metro area here in the Atlanta area, treating folks with orthopedic injuries, all kinds of sports medicine care. This is for the entire family, seniors, kids, everybody in between. I'm talking about a massive, massive outfit here. 39 physicians, over 450 employees, taking good care of you with in-house physical therapy, MRI imaging, outpatient surgery, after-hours orthopedic care for weekend warriors, for little leaguers, for professional athletes, college athletes, everyone in between. Go to orthoatlanta.com. That's the website, orthoatlanta.com, because a good orthopedist can get you back in the game, but a great orthopedist can get you back your quality of life, and that is what Ortho Atlanta can provide for you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Man, really enjoyed having Tony Barnhart on the show today, because he understands the history of Georgia-Auburn, and he has some really good insight on this game coming up on Saturday, given the fact that he spent so much time there at Auburn here this weekend. We're going to get ready to take a cruise around the SEC, brought to you by our friends at Royal Caribbean. I want to tell you one really cool thing about Royal Caribbean right now. You know, we've been talking about the fact that a lot of these Royal Caribbean ships have been recently amplified. That means making them bigger and better. One of the ones I want to tell you about today is the all-new Oasis of the Seas, which debuts a little bit later on this month. This is a complete and total reimagining of a already beautiful cruise ship made even bigger and even better. Here's some of the things that have been added in here. Ultimate Abyss, which is like a really cool water slide, like right there on the cruise ship. If you're watching on video, you get a chance to see this for yourself. They've added a new Playmaker sports bar and arcade, which is really fun. A music hall, a kind of a place to hang around, hear some live music during the night. Really cool signature bar called the Lime and Coconut. And robotic bartenders as well at the new Bionic Bar. So this is an amazing amplification of Oasis of the Seas. It's going to be debuting here this month, and it's just another reminder that you need a vacation, and no one provides bolder vacations than our friends at Royal Caribbean. So check them out online at royalcaribbean.com, and they'll get you in touch with a travel advisor near you to help plan your vacation and just be on your way. Boy, I wish it was me. That sounds really, really fun. Okay, couple things here real quick. First of all, I saw a report out there. I guess Auburn is going to get some new LED lights pretty soon. You know, obviously, Georgia, that's been a fun staple for its night games this year. Controversy with Alabama because Georgia got to use theirs first. And, you know, when you watch the NFL games now and all this, just about everybody's got these. It's really amazing to me how quickly something goes from being like the cutting edge thing that everybody has to have to it's not even that cool anymore. I mean, I hate to be this way because I'm going to sound negative, but it's almost like being at Georgia this past Saturday, the whole mystique of the lights that was present for like 3 weeks ago against Notre Dame, even now that just sort of starts to feel like the thing that everybody has and kind of everybody's doing. I still love it when they turn the lights off, and I still love the fourth quarter thing when it all starts glowing red. It is really cool, but it's hard to be cool and unique very long because pretty soon everybody's going to have them there as well. It's the same way with video boards and DJs and everything else, uniforms. It is just really, really hard to keep up with the Joneses. You build your football facility, somebody else builds theirs, and on it goes. And I guess the LED lights kind of much the same way, where it goes from being the thing that you have that makes you stand out to being the thing that if you don't have it, the question is, well, what's wrong with you? How come you're not in the 21st century? Just amazing how this stuff changes so fast in college football, especially in the SEC, with that push to always be at the cutting edge. It's nice to see Georgia playing at that highest level now. There's been recently some announcement about, you know, upgrading facilities and you know, things like that. It's nice to see Georgia playing at the highest level now, but staying at the highest level is just not an easy thing to do. But that Mike Griffith had a pretty good piece of DogNation.com looking at Will Muschamp, a guy that has played both Alabama and Georgia. You know, South Carolina trended on Twitter Tuesday night with Georgia in the top four because the Gamecocks had beaten Georgia. Muschamp this week in terms of talking about Georgia. This is the quote from Mike Story, DogNation.com. He says, Georgia, I think their offensive line is very difficult to match up with. They are massive up front, but I do think Alabama has the size to match up with them. He means in a head-to-head comparison. The backs are outstanding. DeAndre Swift, the entire core of running backs, really good players. He compliments Jake Fromm there a little bit as well. Listen, here's my thing on Alabama. And I think it was really telling on Saturday the way that the Alabama program has evolved. They're just not physical anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that Georgia in a matchup with Alabama on this sort of mythical neutral field to determine who really is the best one-loss team in America, that doesn't mean that Georgia would have an easy time of winning. Doesn't even mean that Georgia would win at all. But as Georgia has seemingly gotten more physical or kind of doubled down on a brand of physicality for how it wants to win football games, boy, it's hard not to notice the way that Alabama just does not have that as a part of its mystique anymore. It's almost like in the transformation that the Tide went through in 2018, selling its soul to become this Big 12-style, unbelievably dynamic passing attack, but also kind of a whiff, a light dusting of finesse there as well. Hard not to notice that transformation hasn't come with a pretty negative byproduct. Now, LSU's not great defensively right now either, but I don't believe the LSU offensive success is what's hampering that. I just think they've missed on some defensive guys that have turned out not to be quite as good as we might have thought. But Alabama, in terms of giving up more on the ground than they used to, not quite running it themselves, not even really calling running plays the way that they used to, hard not to say that's not become a little bit of a finesse team. So an interesting comparison with Will Muschamp there. I think when it comes to the overall physicality, that is something that Georgia probably has now to a large degree more than what Alabama brings to the table. And we will see if that works out to the recipe of a championship berth and a playoff berth for Georgia a little bit later on this year. Real quick, this is not an SEC story, but I'm going to do this as we cruise around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. I saw where Bob Stoops, after the initial reports suggested that, nah, listen, this guy's all in on the XFL and he's not looking to be a candidate at Florida State or anything like that. Some recent comments from Stoops certainly make it sound like he's at least open to reconsidering a return to the college game, which is something I predicted he would do a long time ago. Guys just don't retire in their 50s and not coach again, especially guys who've had as much success as Stoops has had. So there was some initial thought that maybe the XFL contract was too ironclad, couldn't get out of it. Doesn't seem like that's going to be the case now, and it sounds like Stoops is ready to throw his hat in the ring. And it's kind of interesting to think that Stoops and his brother Mark could be competitors here for some of the same jobs. But I certainly get the impression that Bob Stoops wants to coach again. That's not a surprise. We'll make that your SEC through as we cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, speaking of surprises, I have to admit I kind of thought this was a surprise. Because, listen, I've told you a million times that this is my favorite time of year because I love playoff debates. I love the fact that Georgia is at the center of a playoff debate. And I love coaching rumors. I just have always liked who's going to be a good fit for which job, who might get fired. I know these are other people's lives and livelihoods and everything else, but I'm really entertained by coaching rumors. Admittedly, I'm not as entertained by the most recent coaching rumor I've been aware of, but I do follow this stuff pretty closely. I guess there's a group of former Arkansas offensive linemen who have pushed for the idea of Sam Pittman becoming Arkansas head coach. You know, they've recently fired Chad Morris. And I kind of thought this was just the kind of fodder for message boards, the kind of thing that sort of existed on the sort of the college football dark web, the fringes of the internet, in terms of the idea that Sam Pittman would be a true candidate for the Arkansas job. But apparently it was significant enough to at least warrant Kirby Smart being asked about this on Wednesday on the weekly SEC coaches teleconference. Every week, all the coaches are on like a teleconference, and reporters from all over can kind of dial in and ask their questions. We don't have audio of this, but Smart was asked about the Sam Pittman rumor that he might go to Arkansas. Here's what Smart said. He said, Sam's got an incredible personality. Kids gravitate towards Sam's personality. He's a tremendous asset for our program. He'd make an incredible head coach given the opportunity. He's a joy to be around. He's done a tremendous job for our program. He's got a lot of experience, and he's been a lot of places. He's certainly been a big help to me. He also went on to say that if he wanted to be a head coach, he's basically sure he would be a good one. So Smart essentially vouches for the idea that Pittman could be a head coach. In this particular instance, though, I don't think that Georgia fans have a whole lot to worry about here. I just think that Pittman, when you look at him, and we got video of him on the screen right now, he always looks like just the happiest, most comfortable guy in the world. He's making, you know, within an eyelash of $1 million coaching offensive line. He's good at his job. You might make the case that he's the least stressful of any coach in the SEC. I don't think you trade that to go be head coach at Arkansas. If Pittman wanted to be a head coach, my guess is we've already heard something about that from him before now. Now, listen, I could be wrong about all of this, but something tells me, given the mess that Arkansas is in, given the cushy position that Pittman is in of being one of the most popular figures associated with Georgia football, my guess is Georgia fans probably don't have too much to worry about there in that regard. But it was at least interesting that Smart brought it up, or not, he didn't bring it up. It was interesting that it was brought up to Smart, and Smart publicly commented on that. So I guess do with that what you will. Let me do a quick preview of the games of the weekend, the biggest of the weekend here, as part of our MyBookie Best Bets. We'll have longer thoughts on this coming up later on in the week. And by that, I mean tomorrow. But a pretty good slate of games here late in the month of November. So let's look at a few of these right now. Alabama travels to Starkville as a 21-point favorite. Florida goes to Missouri as a 7-point favorite. Vandy hosts Kentucky as a 9.5-point underdog. Magnolia Bowl, LSU after a big win, 21.5-point favorite on the road right now. South Carolina, Texas A&M, that's Georgia's opponent for the following week. Aggies 11-point favorite at home. Outside the SEC, Navy, Notre Dame's a fun one. Single-digit point spread there. Wake at Clemson. Clemson trying to make a big case for themselves against a weak schedule. 33.5-point favorite of the Tigers. Fun game in the Big Ten. Undefeated Minnesota on the road at Iowa. But as an underdog here, Iowa's the favorite, -3. Blackout game at night at Kinnick Stadium. Baylor undefeated, hosting Oklahoma. Baylor totally disrespected by the selection committee this past weekend. They are a 10-point underdog here. This is a fun weekend of games. We'll have some official picks tomorrow, but go ahead and be thinking about those point spreads courtesy of our friends at MyBookie, and think about MyBookie when you want to get some action down on the games, because they offer you a fast, no-hassle payout when you win. They got the best player perks in the industry, and right now, they'll also offer you a tremendous sign-up bonus when you get involved. You can actually have more money in your account before you even place your first bet, but you got to find MyBookie online. That's just type it in your browser, MyBookie, and use the promo code DOGNATION, all one word, spelled DAWG. When you use the promo code DOGNATION at MyBookie, big first deposit bonus, and then after that, you play, you win, and you get paid. All right, look forward to seeing you tonight. Marlowe's in Brookhaven for our Marlowe's matchup. Myself, John Stinchcomb, getting ready for a lot of fun stuff. It's 3575 Durden Drive Northeast. That's 3575 Durden Drive Northeast. We will look forward to seeing you there for that. getting ready for Georgia and Auburn on Saturday. And, of course, our buddy Eddie, our unofficial mascot for Dog Nation Daily, reminds me that even on a day like this, when we're looking forward to the Deep South's oldest rivalry, we don't forget about the Gator Hater Updater. And that's actually a really cool number today. It has now been, look at this if you're watching on video across the screen, 1111. 1,111 days. That's a cool thing to see. 1,111 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. We love the idea of Georgia dominating rivals. Been doing that with Florida. Going to do it again, hopefully, with Auburn on Saturday. We'll talk to you more about it tomorrow and tonight at the Marlows in Brookhaven. We'll see you then. This is Dog Nation Daily. And on video. Time now for our R.S. Andrews cool down. And heat's been on in our house every night for a while now. That means a furnace safety check, $99. You get that at rsandrews.com. And by the way, make sure you check out RS Andrews Go with the Flow. That'll air Friday. It's normal time.